Are you recording already? Oh, that's lovely. Well done, Ian. Okay. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm quite happy with starting like that. That's fine. Yeah, of course. What's in your shed? What's in your shed? Pictures and treasures and the books that we read. What's in your shed? What's in your shed? Welcome to Shed Sessions. It's wonderful to welcome Izzy Yardley and Nick Peeney to the Shed tonight. And we have been so looking forward to the session for a while now. And I'm really pleased you got in touch. And I couldn't actually believe it. I was like, hang on. And yeah, it didn't take much for us to secure a date to squeeze into the schedule. So we are very, very pleased. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Thank you so much for saying yes.
Delighted to be here.
Yeah, it's very wonderful to be here. I kind of want to live here in this shed. Well, I could live in this shed.
Well, thank you. Happily. I'll check with the family and see if that's okay. Izzy wants to stay.
Yeah. I'll look after the guinea pigs when you go away.
Oh, that would be useful. Yeah. We've got some neighbours up the road that are very happy to look after our guinea pigs. They've got two boys and we've got two girls, but they keep them apart,
right?
Luckily. Otherwise, we would have more guinea
Imagine
pigs.
Imagine you come back from holiday and just litters everywhere.
Little extras.
Yeah.
When we picked them up, when we got back from our holiday, Tess, who was looking after them, said that she did keep them apart. And I said, well, that's lucky, otherwise there would be little presents for us. And I probably wouldn't mind. I'd really like to see tiny guinea pigs. They are so cute.
I think
for how long and how many?
Well, how long would it be before you started to mind?
Guinea pigs are exceptionally cute. They are the one animal that, even when they get bigger, they remain cute.
Yeah.
And I mean,
one animal.
Well, yeah, that's a bit harsh. I was just thinking
about.
I just
felt so sorry for all the other animals that are pets.
And humans. Some humans say cute too.
Other animals are available.
Yeah. Sorry, I am biased. Sometimes as I'm speaking, I realize, God, what am I saying? That's obviously not correct. But they are very, very cute animals, but there's a price to pay because they poo and wee a great deal.
Oh, I bet they do.
But it's excusable. They get away with it.
Because they look cute.
Aren't they a staple food source in some countries?
Oh, wow. And this just took a dark turn.
Yes.
They are, though, actually. No, they Which are country indeed. Is yeah. that?
But then maybe those countries find sheep cute. I mean, you know, we can't judge it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
In that sense, this has gone dark, but then they're kind of a perfect animal to be part of a diet because they breed like anything.
Yeah,
exactly. And they eat.
Should we start this again?
We could try. I love that we're talking about guinea pigs again. But they are a convenient snack size. An actual guinea pig. I do love them.
Do you have a barbecue? I think we should.
Imagine the neighbours, the Poor singeing Crumble. Hair, and I'd be like, what is going on down there? But there's loads of them.
Oh, dear.
Okay, poor guinea pigs. Luckily, they're in bed now. They won't hear us.
The perfect introduction to your first song.
Well, I'm so glad we discussed that. I was going to talk about the weather, but we went straight on to guinea pigs.
There's a really nice sunset. If you do want to talk about the weather at all, there's a really nice sunset between the houses there. Which is quite nice.
The houses are like the pyramids. They line up perfectly for the sunset. So in this time of year, the sun in the west, obviously it sets in the west, streams through the gaps between the houses. And there's a little spot here where the raspberries grow. And they get the evening sun and they're looking good. They've suddenly got this beautiful light green color.
I'm really jealous.
And over time, the first crop will come, and then the leaves go a bit darker, and then you think the raspberries are done, and then there's a late crop, so there's two different types. But, yeah, it's this time of year. It's very, very lovely to experience. I'm grateful for the summers here. You get, it sounds like a fairy tale, the crab apples and the bluebells and the snowdrops. The snowdrops have kind of past now, and then the tulips are out. It
Good
just
names.
Doesn't sound real.
Yeah,
Yeah, crab apple.
Crab apple. It does sound kind of magical.
Yeah.
Also disgusting.
Have you tried a crab apple?
Yeah. It was like a dare when I was a kid, when I thought it was an apple. And I think it was my brother or my dad who said, yeah, try it.
Yeah, they're quite tart.
Don't want to do that.
Very sour.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. Well, thank you for taking part in this wonderful introduction.
Thanks for having us.
I would so love to hear your first song.
Great. Thank you very much. I'd love to play it. Should we start with Hazy?
Yes.
So this is a song called Hazy, which is actually I recorded last year and is going to come out in the next few months, which is very exciting.
Just a little off mic pause. I feel like I'm knocking this drum that's behind me.
You hurting it?
Yeah, feel free to move the drum.
This one here, if you like.
Yeah.
That drum has a whole long story as well. I won't go into it. It's a kind of...
It looks like it's had a knife.
It's a protector. It guided me through airport security, no questions asked. This was in South Africa, and it was... I was reaching those paranoid phases, you know, when you're like panicking in the airport and you think... everything's going to fall apart and you're going to be searched. I wasn't carrying any contraband, but cannabis was legalized in South Africa, and I was in the Cape and I enjoyed the surroundings and everything else. And then I had to get that drum back with me and I was kind of waved through. People just quite liked it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, surprising. And it's quite big, but you know.
Yeah.
So that's the protector.
That's really interesting.
How funny.
Yeah.
Get pulled over for capos. Let's just play in here for a while.
It's lovely.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and it works really nicely when it's held up. So there's that hollow of the bass and the sound comes through. You can give it a go later.
Yeah. Not on this song. But
yeah, that could be interesting. Hazy. Some days I get lost along the way. I don't know how to behave or how it all went wrong. Could it be the way the world is turning on its back, or losing track of everything we've done? I feel the shame of what we take. It's time the master meets its maker. I know you're holding on to pain, and it could be over, it could be right. Place your hands upon the times worth saving. I'll be waiting by the door. In the streets and music playing with the love of all we know. Love is demonstrating how we're aching and the ways we're letting go. I feel the shame of what we take. It's time the master meets its maker. I know you're holding on to pain, and it could be over, it could be right. Place your hands upon the times worth saving. I'll be waiting by the door embracing. Coming home, you'll find you more than able. It's making your mind up, memories hazing, damage is done, and I'll be here waiting, standing in
is beautiful. Wow.
Thank you.
Place your hands on the times worth saving.
Yeah.
I get tingles all over.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you.
Honestly, like I literally was, I've got tears pooling in my eyes.
No.
That was stunning. It was beautiful. Is it like about forgiveness and welcoming? And I don't know, there's so much there.
Kind of, yeah. I'm always quite reticent to say what a song's about. Partially because a lot of the time I don't really know. I think it's nice for people to sort of find their story in it. But yes, it is about knowing that it's okay. You know, someone's going to be there for you.
Yeah.
You're not alone. Or whether it's forgiveness or you've got people who've got your back or anything. Yeah, it could be all of those things.
It's just stunning.
Hope at the end of the dark tunnel. That's kind of the vibe.
And I understand not wanting to give too much away because it should be open for interpretation and how people feel and respond in different ways.
Yeah, it's most fascinating the different ways that people can read into something.
Mm. Yeah, and I prefer not having a strict meaning, and it's like not wanting to meet your heroes. You kind of could get disappointed in a way if they tell you that this is how.
It's actually about a chip shop.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I mean, Bob Dylan said it very well in one of his interviews, where he said, you know, they asked him what the lyrics to a song meant, and he said, "Look, you know, to you the word house means a, you know, a place in upstate New York, but to me it means a one bedroom upstairs and one room downstairs. So we can't even agree on that word, let alone what I think my songs mean and what you think my songs mean."
Yeah.
I thought that was a very well-made point. In a way, songwriters should be asking interviewers what they think their songs mean. I think it would be...
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Bob Dylan knows the truth.
He does know the truth.
I'm a big fan. It's just stunning hearing your lyrics and the way you play together and the way you look at each other when you play. And it's this instant magic that's happening in the room, and I can imagine that's been there your whole life, you know, this inspiration and drawing from music. I can just tell it's love. I can tell it fits and it's just perfect. When did you start discovering that music was something that you could use as a creative tool? I don't even know how to describe music really, but you know what I mean? When did you like suddenly know that this was a good fit for you?
I guess I'll try and condense it a bit. I grew up around a lot of music. I've come from a big family and music was kind of revered in the family. So there was always music playing. There were instruments in the house. So it was something that I was aware of and heard a lot of. When I was about, I think I was probably about 12. Yeah, 11 or 12. I heard a classical piece of music that happened to be on the radio that had been left on in the kitchen at home. And I don't know really what happened, but I found myself sitting on the floor like 15 minutes later, just sitting there crying. And the only thing that had been going on was the music. So I tied that something in the music had had the capability to let out something in me, whatever it might be. And I thought that was magic, like actual magic. So that's sort of a moment I can remember going, wow, I really want to be around or work out what that is or how that works. I think it took me a while to really, really do something about it because I wasn't encouraged to necessarily choose it as a profession. But I think that's the moment where I knew inside. It then took me years to be able to say it out loud to anyone, if that makes any sense.
It does. It does make sense.
It was the thing that is the thing that's always connected the most, in that it's been able to go right to the core, and yeah, so it made sense that this is where it happened next.
That's really lovely to hear, and I feel I'm always trying to figure music out, and I've stopped thinking too hard about it. I just kind of accept that there's a lot of it that's going to be a mystery. A lot of it we just don't get. And I was watching Stranger Things with my son last night. He's finally old enough to watch it, and I've watched it before. And we're on season 4, and Max is being drawn in by what's that? Oh, we were saying his name all day. the evil monster. I'm going to kick myself. Vecna.
Yeah.
Vecna. Yeah. And Max is, yeah, it's a good one. Max is being drawn in through her mind. So she's sitting in this graveyard where she's gone to visit her brother's grave. And she's sitting there, and the boys are waiting by the car, and she says she'll be 20 seconds. And she's longer because she goes into that trance and Vecna's drawing her in. And then they work out, there's another story going on, and they work out that music can be used, and they get that, the Walkman with Kate Bush running up that hill. And music, I think someone says music can reach you in ways that nothing else can.
Yeah.
And they manage to draw her out of that evil or that darkness.
Yeah.
And I thought that's so poignant and true and special, and for me too. So it's interesting to hear... You know,
it's pretty damn magical, isn't it?
It's unbelievable, and it gives meaning, and it really is a wonderful human trait. You know, going back to the first, like the Khoisan people, I guess, in Southern Africa, which I know about, or the Aboriginal people in Australia, how they've used music for hundreds, thousands, years, long time.
Yeah.
So to follow that path is a dream. So I'm really happy to hear it. Can we hear another one?
Yes. She Rose. That's the tuning we're in.
Tuning, yeah.
Yeah, there's a tricky thing with this tuning. It's one of my favourites, but it's C, G, D, G, G, E. So it's got three Gs in it. So if even one of those is slightly out, it's not that pleasant. Which inevitably always is anyway when I play it.
Oh, I doubt that. I'm sure it's...
I get overexcited and then whack things and then...
So the G is the big chord, isn't it? The G is... Can you play a G on there?
Right now, no. No. I've no idea what I'm playing. Well, that's a G.
Ah. So if that's out, you'll really hear it.
Yeah, we'll see. So I've got... And those are the same, in like the same, exact same G in the same sort of tone, so...
Yeah, but the geeky physics of it is because they're different thicknesses of string. They have a slightly different reaction to the way that they're pushed down.
Oh, so
they could... Getting them to always be always in tune with each other is a... Always be always in tune?
Always be always in tune.
Sure, that's alcohol-free beer.
And I said I wouldn't talk while you're tuning, and there I go. Sorry.
No, you wouldn't. I don't know, you're tuning. But I think both of us probably kind of like find this stuff really interesting and geek out over
everything. Oh, yeah, no, it's wonderful. Well, essentially, that's the building blocks of everything we were just talking about. You know? Music is just vibrations controlled in really interesting ways.
And making music and writing music is kind of just like slightly manipulating what that sound is that you're receiving. So you do have the power to kind of like go, I'm going to make that over there a little bit and that over there.
And humans have always found it fascinating. My brother's wife is a, what do they call it? She's an archaeologist, but she's also a composer.
She's everything.
And she got to go to these caves. I think they're in the south of France. And they're sort of ancient human history there, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. And they found that in various parts of the cave, in particularly resonant parts of the cave, there are all these drawings of animals. And it turns out that those animal calls sound particularly good in those spots. So,
is amazing.
And they found these instruments there that are sort of, you know, bone flutes and things like that, and they've been left in places where they would be particularly resonant. But it's actually quite deep into these cave systems, so humans have sort of gone in and found these spots and decided that they're significant places. So we've been fascinated by this for
a
forever.
Long time.
Yeah.
Wow, that brings together so many interesting fields, like the idea of place and all the natural environment and the animals at the time, and oh wow.
And it's not
too
just
much.
Us.
Too much.
It turns out that chimpanzees, some groups of chimpanzees are fascinated by certain roots in trees because they resonate in a certain way when you hit them with a stick. So it's kind of, it's like, it's everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
And as we said at the start, other animals are available, you know. It's kind of
thank you, they are.
We're going to play a song called She Rose, which... Shall I start this one?
Yeah.
Okay. which is on the Imposter EP I've put out.
Now I'm mistaken for my mother.
laugh about it, laugh about it. No, won't you laugh about it, laugh about it. No.
I was going to say, I wish people could see this as well as hear it, and I guess they're going to get to see some of it because Andy is here, who I'm really grateful for.
Woo-hoo, and Andy.
We love him. Andy's doing the photography and the filming, and I think it's going to sound amazing. We'll get onto that in just a moment, and it's going to look incredible too. And talking of sounding amazing, Ian's here, and he's doing the audio, and he does an amazing job with the mixing, and it's so lovely to be in a room with all of you together, and we're creating this wonderful thing, and it's just sounding beautiful, unbelievable. The bass on that song, She Rose, it is very cool, and I wish people could see the double bass that you have. They're always beautiful to look at. I guess maybe can you just tell us something about this wonderful instrument you have?
This one's it's a bit of a funny one actually. It was made in about 1885 in Dresden in Germany, but it's a bit funny because it's kind of factory made, but it appears to have been made possibly by an apprentice because some of the measurements are a bit off. It doesn't quite make sense, you know. It's not the standard double bass is a 3/4 size double bass because the full size ones are just enormous. They're only used in symphony orchestras, really. Even then, most of them are kind of 7/8. This is like a hybrid. Some of it's full size, some of it's 3/4. The wood. I had a luthier look at it, and he had to carve half of it out because it was just made of a whole tree, you know. It's a really strange instrument.
Someone having a go at making a double bass.
Yeah, kind of. But it's also one of those things. It's worked out really well, and it sounds great.
It sure does, and I suppose that's got a lot to do with the person playing it. But the instrument's got a story too, and it sounds like something I would make with the measurements slightly off. And, you know, I get a bit confused by measurements.
Wait, which one am I making?
But it's stunning, and you can see that it's got a story to tell. And bass for me is one of those very prehistoric sounds. If we're going back to those cave stories, I can imagine. Finding bass sounds in caves must be quite exciting.
Yeah, but also finding instruments that actually resonated this low. They haven't been around that long, actually. I think the first double bass, I think they dated back to about 13th century, but it was enormous. They used to make them for cathedrals, and they were like 15 feet high, and you'd have, you know, one or two people at the bottom, like soaring away at it, and these massive strings that were, you know, you could barely put your fist round them, you know, and they're just kind of soaring away in these cathedrals, making these enormous noises. There's barely any surviving relics of them. But
wow, yeah. What a great sound to harness. The loudest bass sound I've heard in nature is a lion's roar.
Quite
a few national parks, but if you hear them in the wild at night, if you're sitting by a fire... I kind of try replicate it, but it could sound embarrassing. But I'll try anyway.
That's a safe space.
It's, thank you. It is.
It's your safe space.
Okay, let's go. It kind of, it's not what you expect. It's not like on The Lion King, but it goes, ooh, like a big,
Yeah.
But that's not deep enough because I'm not a baritone at all. But yeah, it comes from the soul. It's very deep.
Wow, yeah.
But that reminds me of a really powerful lion. Has it got a name?
That's so nice.
Well, funnily enough, this bass is called Nelly.
Oh, Nelly the elephant.
Yeah. And that's because there was I can't remember who's there's a piece of music called Carnival of the Animals, and all the instruments get an animal that they represent, and lo and behold, the double bass got the elephant.
Maybe it should have got the lion.
And everyone, when I started playing double bass, everyone would say, "Oh, do you know that Carnival of the Animals, the elephant?" And I got so fed up with the question that I called my bass Nelly.
Yeah.
Oh,
the weird thing is, to me, it's a lion. I guess it's like songs. You don't want to give too much away. You don't want to tell too much about your instrument. But it reminds me of a lion, and you remind me of a lion. Anyway,
my tour name used to be Aslan, so...
Ah, very good. I do tarot card reading.
Do you?
No, sorry.
I got really excited then.
But like, I feel like I'm on a roll. You know when they read people's fortunes and you say stuff. I'm not randomly putting stuff out there, obviously, but I can sense. But I love this. I love watching bands perform, and I love creating stories in my mind when I'm seeing them. So this is
nice.
Fun.
Yeah.
We should. There's a game we should tell you about. Maybe not right now, but there's a game. The Essence game.
I feel like you'd like that. Good game.
We'll tell you about it later.
Okay. Well, keep me in suspense. I'm waiting. I like that. This song, She Rose, is from your EP, which you released in June 2023,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, and memory.
Well, I did a bit of research and I've been listening to it, and I absolutely adore it. I think I've got it written down here. There's five songs on there.
Four songs.
Is it four?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't check my notes properly.
I wish there were five.
Oh, yeah, so we've got, yeah, there are four. Or we have Imposter, She Rose, and The Reckoner.
Yeah.
And... I mean, it's beautiful from the album artwork to the production to the singing, the instrumentation. It is just stunning. And I see your producer is Dom Monks, who produced for Billy Martin, Big Thief. And Billy Martin's album from last April, a year ago, Drop Cherries, is a blinder. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. I'm going to rush to Truck Store and get a copy because I discovered her through you and I listened to that a lot too. And I thought, I've got to have that album. It's a beauty. And I've got a Big Thief album. I love Big Thief. The one with the dinosaur on and the cup of tea.
The drawings, the latest one.
Yeah.
I don't know what that one's, Big Mountain something. It's a long name.
Something. Yeah. Big Mountain's in there.
Yeah. And... Wow, something to do with the dragon, yeah. but so amazing to have Dom Monks on production for that album. What is that like? You know, the producer makes a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, pretty wild, because that was kind of my first time in a proper recording studio working with a producer. So a pretty bonkers first foray into doing something. I think I just got really lucky. Good timing. And it's really exciting to find someone that seemed to have the same, I guess, sort of ethos when it came to recording, which was capture things live, not try and... There's no focus on kind of commerciality or any of that. Just get some really cool people in a room and put some mics up and see what happens. And that really excited me. And that's kind of, I think that's kind of how Dom works, to be honest. So, yeah, it was a pretty cool experience.
I can imagine. And you can hear that truth. How do you call it? Honesty. Like there's, like you say, there's no commercial incentive. It's just enjoying creating something together. And you can definitely hear that in Big Thief, in Billy Martin, in your music too. And the Imposter EP has got a beautiful photograph on the front. Is that you on the rocking horse?
It's me.
Oh, my word. That's such a lovely photo. Where did, how did you find that?
It was just a, like, an old photo that was hanging around that I got hold of. And it's just a pretty good photo. And there was a lot of umming and ahhing for the artwork for that EP. But when I realised I was going to call it Imposter, which is a kind of about imposter syndrome and trying to process that, just the feelings of not being good enough, essentially. I thought that that little girl who looks so kind of carefree, having the time of her life on a rocking horse, would be quite a good reminder to myself that there's no way that I would tell that little girl that she's an imposter. So I probably shouldn't say it to myself either. So that was why it became the cover.
That's so lovely. That's such a, it's perfect. It, and there's a second rocking horse too. Was that?
It's a double rocking horse.
Oh, wow.
I come from a big family.
Like a tandem bicycle.
Yeah, like a tandem rocking horse it was.
That's so lovely.
And so my one of my sisters is actually on the back one, on the back horse, looking a little bit more confused.
And then you've released some singles off that EP, and each one, or not, I think there's three of them. You've got lovely oil paintings.
Thank you.
Are those your paintings?
Yes.
No way.
That's a funny story. I'm not really a painter. I decided to have a go painting because I think it's quite, it's, well, probably like you, I imagine, like creative outputs. And I thought it might be fun to throw paint around, so I started doing that. But then I was naturally using colours that I could hear in the music that we'd made. So after some toing and froing, I decided, well, let's use that as the artwork because I hear colours quite a lot from music. And when, for example, you're kind of like, say, the imposter art is a close-up of something which had a lot of like reds, oranges, yellows, a bit of white, and I was like, that's what imposter sounds like, so that's it. And so ended up using them.
Wow, they're amazing. What size are they paint? What's the size of the canvas that they're on?
Those were on A6, actually, are just pieces of paper.
Okay.
So those are kind of more blown in. I'm, again, making artwork for the next EP that's coming out later this year. And those I'm doing on kind of 20 by 20 canvases. Although I'm doing more like a 30 by 30 one for the main. I say this, I really hope I finish it and talk about it.
No pressure.
Yeah, so I'm doing a step up this time where it's going to be the full image. I've done a couple of them so far. I'll show them to you and see what you think.
Yeah, I'd love to see them. And you said a new EP. When is that due to come out?
Fingers crossed. I'm gonna say between the September and December period.
Okay. I'll be looking out for that.
Sure.
And
I'm really excited.
If it takes longer, then I know it's going to be great. So
It won't take longer. I'm really excited to get it out. We recorded it last year. Again, with Dom producing, the same band. So Nick, Ethan on drums, Luke, but we also got loads of other, quite a few other musicians in for it too. So it's... Yeah.
Luke wasn't on the previous one.
Yeah,
Luke Potashnik is a...
He's a new member of the band. That's exactly...
A wonderful guitarist.
So I'm excited to let that out into the world.
Well, I'm excited too, not only for the music, but for the artwork too. You've set the...
Oh, the pressure, Warren, the pressure.
I love those paintings. And when I looked at it on Bandcamp,
yeah,
and I tried to zoom in and I was at work looking, and then my boss walked around to ask me something and she looked up at the screen, and I just kind of, instead of shutting it down quickly, I just left it there. I thought, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I'm getting my work done. Yeah. Yeah. And that's and it's funny. Good. I'm sure she liked seeing
that. They
didn't
tell you off.
Nah, okay. It was okay. But yeah, what a treat. What an amazing EP, and love it so much.
Did you do these on the wall?
I did, yeah.
I should get some tips from you.
Oh, I don't know. A tip I learned today was that even when you get right near the end and something goes wrong, you've got to learn to just walk away, because yeah. I kept trying to patch things up.
Yeah.
I got to a point where one part, I've been over it so many times that it's raised too much, and I'm even considering getting sandpaper to sand it down. But I might just start again, because I've enjoyed the whole process. But yeah, today I learned that it can go wrong. I still don't know what to make of it. It's perhaps like a song that you have to leave on the shelf for a while and then come back to.
It's the same with music. I think even recording music, you've got to just learn how to say, that's it, I'm not going to fiddle anymore. Yeah. I'm going to step away. It's a really hard thing to learn.
Yeah, it's got to be okay to say that wasn't it.
Yeah, either we got it, we didn't get it.
Yeah.
But like, finish it.
And then no regrets too. Like, yeah. I started regretting, but then I looked at the painting, it's inside, and I looked at it and I thought, 3/4 of it is just stunning, and I don't know if I can recreate that again. So I'm thinking of patching, but then I think, well, if I do it again, it's going to be something different.
Be different. Exactly. Yeah. You might end up loving the whole thing in 6 months' time as well.
Maybe.
So.
I won't chuck it away. I'll store it somewhere. I would love to hear another song.
Trying to be someone else outside, I will be the calling left inside your aching mind. So you're trying to leave those thoughts you want to hide. I will be the lantern keeping them inside. Won't you pull back the road? Pull back the sea, pull back the ocean that keeps you. So you're trying to sleep, but you feel too sad and lonely. I will be the last thing you think of when you turn out the light. If you fall back, crack my black, take stock of the visions that come free and see the rhythm guiding, like the current turning in the sea. Won't you pull back the road, pull back the sea? Left inside your aching mind. If you mistake my careful words unkind, I will be here waiting patiently. Won't you pull back the road, pull back the sea, pull back the ocean that keeps you from me? Won't you climb down to shore, pull back the sea? Won't you pull back the ocean that keeps me? Oh, won't you?
Wow, that's really exciting from your upcoming EP.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. It's got me even more looking forward to it.
I hope you enjoy it when you hear it.
Oh, I enjoy your songs so much. And with that double bass, what a treat. And I'm sure your band members, it's Ethan and Luke.
Ethan's on drums, Luke's on electric guitar. And then on that song, we also had this amazing, we've got strings. Mm-hmm. This amazing guy called Harry Felsing Smith, who arranged some strings. And we've got someone called Richard Corson, I think, on some keys on that. Did Marcus play on that? Amazing, like really, I'm insanely lucky with them. The people I have got to work with.
Well, that's really the thing. I can imagine it's going to be beautiful, and I love hearing this stripped back version too. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound incredible on the recording, I'm sure. But it's interesting when you say, "I feel lucky," and I often say, "I feel lucky," and I genuinely do feel lucky to have this setup. But then that's that whole imposter thing too. That some it's not always luck. I think you make your own luck in a way. Sometimes people have told me off for saying lucky, but I still like saying I feel lucky. But do you know what I mean? It's like you are a draw, and people want to work with you because you're great.
I think maybe sometimes people say don't say lucky because they don't want you to be discounting your effort and the hard work that you've put in. But I think it shouldn't necessarily be, that's not what it means. It's not meant to be discounting the work that's gone behind.
And I
but
get it, that
it's a nice
too.
Thing to appreciate. It's important to appreciate what you've got.
But
I
you
think.
You can capitalize on your luck. I mean, it's okay for both things to be true at the same time. You can work very, very hard and also
be lucky. Yeah, exactly.
And everyone likes to feel lucky.
Yeah.
It's a nice, I think it's a,
you need
it feels
luck.
Good.
Yeah.
You definitely need luck, yeah.
I was really lucky to get a little message from Anthony Kiedis in his book Scar Tissue. It's quite a long story, but I can abbreviate it slightly. But I knew a physiotherapist through my wife. Her friend is a physiotherapist.
Oh, cool.
She's my friend too. And she worked at Reading Football Club as a physiotherapist years ago, and when the Red Hot Chili Peppers played at the Reading Festival, their management contacted Reading Football Club to ask if there was a physio about to help with one of the band members. And because I had read Scar Tissue and learned that Anthony Kiedis has like ankle problems because he jumped off a roof jumped from the roof to a swimming pool and misjudged the distance. Oh. And he landed on his heel at the edge of the pool. So he's got an ongoing issue with his ankles, and because he jumps around so much, it exacerbates it. But I knew straight away that would be for Anthony Kiedis, and I asked if she could take the book and see if he would sign it. And he did, and he wrote in it, I'll actually grab it for you. It's down there, just a sec. Oh, yeah. I keep all my treasures in here, and I know where they are. But he wrote in here, Warren, love to the lucky man.
Oh, and I that's think, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason he wrote lucky man was because our friend told him that we were getting married, that this was for her friend who's getting married to her friend.
Mm.
And he wrote love to the lucky man. And yeah, I feel really lucky.
You're owning the lucky man. Yeah.
I'll show that to you because it seems a bit mean. I'm looking at it, but you've got to see his writing just quickly. I'll come over and show you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's really nice, isn't it? I like that why.
That's such a funny thing. That's... Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Also, is the... yeah.
It's cool, and I'm happy with that. So luck is... Yeah, you've got to be able to use words like that too. And
yeah.
I also got the set list. So.
Oh, yeah. But, fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway, I love talking with you and I love listening to your music, and it's just been such a fantastic evening. I've enjoyed sharing this space and time with you so much. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
I think we could hear another song. We've only done three, haven't we?
Yeah, or is we it can do two or one more for you. It's whatever you like. Put this back up.
Yeah. How have you done
this?
I
don't know, my shoulder feels... I think I'm just tired.
Right.
My shoulder's going, put it down. Okay. Well, should we try that brand new one? Just see what happens.
Okay.
What do you think?
Sure.
This is a song that is really brand new. We played it last night for the first time together. So, yeah. It's really, really new, which is always fun.
Good luck, everyone.
Yeah. Strap in.
Dancing in the light of the rosy moon. dancing in the light of the rosy moon. We're dancing in the light of the rosy moon.
That sounded so good. It's a treat hearing something so fresh, so new.
It's a treat for me too.
Yeah. Oh. Total Risk song. Yeah. I didn't know how that was going to go.
Yeah. Oh, stunning. And fun. I'm thinking of the rosy moon, and I don't think there's a moon. I mean, the moon's out there, yeah, but it's at the phase where it's not as bright. But it's a lovely to imagine. And again, the words capture me and I kind of drift off.
Me too.
It's really stunning. There's so much that I'd love to talk about. Perhaps we need to, one day after your EP is done, we'll do another revisit.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I'd be really interested to know about your move. You don't have to go into loads of detail, obviously, but you moved from London to Frome in Somerset.
Yeah.
And interestingly, Frome is one of my favorite places.
Oh, no way.
I love Raves from the Grave, yeah, the record shop. I like Ellen Bray, the toy shop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Go in there.
That's a good one.
I used to get little bits and pieces in there every now and then.
I can imagine, actually.
And yeah, so can you tell me a little bit more about your experience as a musician being in Frome? I know that you've recorded there for your EP, and I know Billy Martin has recorded in Somerset and Wales. I think to me it's a place of sort of
the West Country. I don't know,
the ley lines and Glastonbury nearby, and there's a lot of spirituality, I suppose, and you can just feel it in the air, I think, when you're there, and the landscapes are stunning too.
Yeah, I think that played quite a large part in it. I grew up in the countryside. Nick grew up in the countryside too, didn't he?
Yeah.
So that's just being around trees and fields and things like that. It feels more natural. In terms of Frome, what to say about it? I didn't know, I had no idea when I actually moved there that it was anything like this. It just so happened that it was just after the pandemic the pandemic was ending, and didn't have anywhere to live and was finding it quite hard to find a place to live. And Frome was just somewhere that said yes, basically. So I think it's got that going for it. I think it supports self-employed people, which is why that happens. But it turns out it has just an amazing sort of artistic community. And as a musician, I think it's been, I'd say, yeah, I've never known a community like it in terms of sort of musicians. And it's a really sort of supportive, welcoming, collaborative, some kind of magic going on there. I don't really know why. There are a lot of musicians. There are a lot of artistic people, full stop, artists and sculptors and, you know, dressmakers and all, just exciting stuff going on.
Yeah, I'm drawn to it. And I guess hearing what you're saying explains some of that. It's not obvious when you're there, but something makes me want to go. I mean, it hasn't got, there's scuzzy parts, I guess, like anywhere.
Yeah.
But still, like, there's something special about it. And then there's the Cheese and Grain venue. Yeah. Bands go there prior to Glastonbury. Paul McCartney dropped by, and the Foo Fighters.
I was there.
What? Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
How did you get a ticket?
I was lucky.
It was meant to be.
It was
meant to be. But yeah, that was a pretty wild experience. I almost didn't go as well. And then when I was stood there sort of like 10 feet away from Paul McCartney, I sort of went, oh my God. And, you know, promptly cried through most of it.
Oh, I wish I could have been there. And then Foo Fighters. I wonder who's going to be there this year before the Glastonbury Festival.
Yeah,
but no one knows. They leave it till the last minute.
Yeah, they keep it pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps next time I'm in Froom. We go there quite regularly.
Oh, you should definitely, say hello.
Yeah.
I'd give a shout.
Come say hi. You'll probably find me in the record shop upstairs looking through all the singles and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm always worried because I go in there so much when I'm there. The owners or the people in the shop must look at me and go, oh. But I doubt it. Yeah, yeah. I do spend a fair bit of money in there.
Well, yeah, they're probably thinking, oh, great. He's back.
Yeah. But yeah, it's so lovely thinking of those connections. And when I found out more about you and realized that you were based there, I thought, wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
Great cinema too. I like going to the Westgate
cinema.
It's so
great, isn't it? You don't get many cinemas now that have an interval with ice cream.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
We love that cinema.
Well, I'm glad. And what can I say? This has just been so good. I've loved every single second of it.
Thank you so much for having us, to all of you.
Yeah.
Well, what a lovely thing to be able to do.
Yes,
go and fantastic. Play some songs in a shed with some lovely people.
Well, thank
That's
you
what
for,
it's all about.
Thank you for travelling and thank you for reaching out. And
thank you for having us.
Izzy Yardley and Nick Peeney, I love you guys.
This was so good.
I can't wait for your new music and I can't wait to go back to your current music, what you've got that's available now. It's just such a treat. It just music keeps giving and giving, and
you've
given these songs to us, and I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could we? I know. I'd love to hear one more. I'm greedy when it comes to music. So
we are gonna play the last track off the Imposter EP, which is The Reckoner.
can take our dreams and why we're living. Could the rolling stones for the roses fall from heaven? The roses all we need till we fall
gone. I'm off. That's just too much pleasure. Wow.
You blast it then.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's yeah, thank you. It's been really fun. Yeah, I've loved it.
Oh, me too. Thank you.
We're winding back the time clock. We'll open up the strong box. What's in your shed? Pictures and treasures and the books that we read. What's in your shed? What's in your shed?